Good morning and welcome to the program. I am Scott Pauley, the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ in St. Albans, West Virginia. It's good to have you along with us this morning. Years ago, a farmer owned land across the Atlantic seacoast. He constantly advertised for hired hands. Most people were reluctant to work on farms along the Atlantic, however. They dreaded awful storms that raged across the ocean, wreaking havoc on the buildings and crops. As the farmer interviewed job applicants, he received a steady stream of refusals. Finally, a short, thin man, well past middle age, approached the farmer. "Are you a good farmhand?" the farmer asked him. "Well, I can sleep when the wind blows," answered the little man. Although puzzled by this answer, the farmer, desperate for help, hired him. The little man worked well around the farm, busy from dawn till dusk, and the farmer felt satisfied with the man's work. Then one night, the wind howled loudly in from offshore. Jumping out of bed, the farmer grabbed a lantern and rushed next door to the hired hand's sleeping quarters. He shook the little man and yelled, "Get up! A storm is coming! Tie things down before they blow away." The little man rolled over in the bed and said firmly, "No, sir. I told you I can sleep when the wind blows." Enraged by his response, the farmer was tempted to fire him on the spot. Instead, he hurried outside to prepare for the storm. To his amazement, he discovered that all of the haystacks had been covered with tarpaulins. The cows were in the barn, the chickens were in the coops, and the doors were barred. The shutters were tightly secured, and everything was tied down. Nothing could blow away. The farmer then understood what the hired hand meant, so he returned to his bed, so also to sleep while the wind blew. Do we have this type of confidence in our lives? Do we seek this type of comfort? Do we want to be free from burdens? Or do we prefer to put things off until the last minute? Now, I hate to run late for anything, whether it's work, church services, a doctor's appointment, whatever it may be. However, it sometimes happens. Many times I have something that causes me to be later than I wanted to be. I forget to set the alarm clock. I've got to stop and get gas. I can't find the keys. Maybe the kids aren't quite ready. All of these things could have been prevented, though, if I had only prepared a little bit better. Now, granted, there are circumstances that are beyond my control. Maybe the car breaks down or there's traffic and it's backed up, but all those things are just that, beyond my control. Either way, I detest being late. Many of you are probably the same way. But we must be prepared to handle the situation. However, we must understand that we cannot be unprepared for the judgment. If we are late or unprepared for the judgment, it's simply our own fault. There's nothing beyond our control that can cause us to not be ready for the coming of the Lord. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 16. Luke chapter 14 at verse 16. You see, everything is already prepared for us. We've just got to accept the invitation. Luke 14, 16. Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask to be excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Verse 20, still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you have commanded, and there still is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" And John chapter 14 at verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 says, "Then the king will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And Revelation 21, verse 2, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." You see, based on these passages, we can know that everything has already been prepared for us. Everything is ready. We just have to accept the invitation. All things are ready. Are you? You see, Jesus warns about not being prepared for the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 44, we see Jesus talking about this. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 44, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over the household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, finds doing so. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying in his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on the day when he's not looking for him, and at the hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him into two and appoint him his portions with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then we go over to Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for you and us, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the hour or the day in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Are we ready for Jesus' return? Have we accepted the invitation? We must always be ready. Of course, we must be ready for the coming of Jesus. Luke chapter 12, verse 40, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." But we have also got to be ready to help others. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Now concerning the ministering of the saints, it is unnecessary that I write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest if the Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation." We must be ready for the coming of Jesus, but we must be ready to help others as well. And we must be ready to spread God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." And what he's saying there is, be ready to preach the word, whether it's what people want to hear or not. Always be prepared to preach what God wants you to preach, to teach what God wants you to teach. And we must be constantly ready to do good. Titus 3:1 says, "Remind them to be submissive to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. And part of our preparation is to be working for God. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 says, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." See, our lives should revolve around the work of the Lord, not the other way around. If we fail to continually be instruments for God, we will never be prepared. You see, all things are ready. Are you? And that preparation is continual. Let's continue in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All of the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And He will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' And then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." God has made things ready for us. God didn't put us on this earth expecting us to do everything. He has prepared things for us. All we have to do is accept His invitation. And in order to accept that invitation, upon hearing the word of God, one must believe it to be true, repent of their sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. All of these steps must take place in order for salvation to occur. We can't expect just to say a sinner's prayer, which isn't even in the Bible, and become a Christian. We must follow all the steps that God has laid out for salvation, because it's His plan. And it's His household that we want to be a part of, so we have to do it by His rules. Are you willing to accept the invitation? What a great invitation it is. If you have yet to accept this invitation and you would like to know more on how you can do so, feel free to contact me. Again, my name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. If you'd like, you can email me at wvdj105@aol.com, or you can call 304-727-0761. Our service times are Sundays with Bible study starting at 9:30. We'll begin worship at 10:25 and again at 6 p.m. And then we'll meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for midweek Bible study. We hope you will join us. If you're not in the St. Albans area and you would like to find a Church of Christ close to you, feel free to contact me and I will get you in touch with someone who can help you. Again, we thank you for being with us this morning. We're here every Sunday morning at 8:45 for Words of Truth.